Good afternoon to everyone, and blessings and love to you and your family. It's very emotional for me for many reasons, and one of the questions that I have and concerns that I have is that we had a son who lost his life, but we had some other children, young men who were traumatized, and we don't mention them. And when we don't mention them, we're abandoning them. And they get to feel the same way that we say that this other group of people who don't give us respect for the brutalization of this young man. I'm a grandmother, so I kind of look at somebody under 25 or 30 or 35 as being a child, a young man, you know, a young person who hasn't really been able to fulfill their life. So when I look at these young men, I think last when Minister Farrakhan was here, I think your son's name is James.
Jackie.
Okay, thank you. That he was here, and you could see what he wears on him. We don't mention these youth, then they can feel abandoned by us. And I really want us to start bringing them in and aiding in their healing process. Thank you.
Thank you.
I like to make a comment to what she was just saying. When was I talking to you? Thursday, I'm driving down E14 around 2 o'clock. And I'm at work and I'm driving down the street. And I told my son, stay in the house. You know, because police are, you know, they're trying to serve him papers. And it's just kind of crazy. So I see him, and he's just standing and he's walking. So I make a U-turn. I said, Diane, I'm gonna call you right back. Am I right? And I hang up the phone, and I jump out my work truck, and I said, Jackie, where you going? He said, Dad, I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing, but I just can't take this no more. He said, I just need to do something, and I can't stay in the house hiding no more. So at that point, I didn't know. You know, I don't know what to do as a father. I know she's helping her and Desiree Brooks are helping my sons. But it's just like, it's kind of scary because you don't know what they're going to do. And with all this going on, you don't know if they're going to make these young men into the criminals now.
Yeah.
You know, these young men didn't do nothing. It was Mesley and Tony Perrone and the other officers who committed this murder, this cold-blooded murder. And now they want to turn these young men into criminals. So I just didn't know what to do, man. Thank you for saying that. And then my other son, he called me the other night. He was like, he was with Oscar too. That night he got murdered. And he was like, Dad, what's going on TV? He's like, man, this is real cold. They ain't saying nothing about Oscar. They didn't show no compassion towards Oscar. This is the young man. And he's saying, you know, ain't no one said sorry to Oscar. No one said sorry to Wanda. No one's coming out for Wanda. You know, so I just wanted to share that with you. And there's one more thing that's bothering me, that's really bothering me. Like, it's just in the back of my mind. Jerry Brown, he comes out and he says, we have to fight urban terrorists. Urban terrorists. So you're going to attack all our young men that wear white t-shirts and jeans. That's the urban terrorists. But you didn't say when Oscar Grant was murdered, you didn't say we're going to investigate all these dirty cops. You didn't say, you know, we're going to start looking into the background of these racist cops that slip in through the system. You didn't say nothing like that. The only thing you said is we're going after these young men that have nowhere to go. You give them strikes. You give them felonies. You don't do nothing to help these young men. Thank you.
Whenever any murder occurs in our community, there's families and communities that have been adversely affected. Of course, Brother Jack is with us every week, and whatever we can do to serve the family, we're certainly here serve you. In the case of Lavelle Nixon, he had family that lived on 74. Can't hear me? Lavelle Nixon had family who lived on 74. His family committed no crime. His 16-year-old sister, who was in the home as the SWAT team came into that home, had a shock bomb, I don't know if that's the right term, flash bomb thrown on her that left her wounded. She was rushed out of the home not to be treated medically, but to be body slammed and handcuffed. Now,
called out of her name.
She was called the B word. She was rushed over to Highland Hospital at a certain point where she went there for treatment. The law enforcement authorities there would not let her mother speak to her and threatened her mother with handcuffs for wanting to speak to her daughter that had nothing to do with a crime. She was in the home, and it will come out over time, quite frankly, over whether or not the SWAT team acted most wisely in the way it entered that home. That'll come out over time. But if you just analyze the fact that she was in the house, the sister who was not home, who was the renter of that property, has an infant that just happened to be with the neighbor upstairs. So what could have happened is so horrific, we really don't want to deal with that, because that's a what if. We're just thankful that God did not cause those girls any further injury or the loss of life. That was potential there. So surely the Nixon family does not deserve to be called devils and demons and all the things that have been said over the media over the last week. They don't know the Nixon family. And this thing has become so political. None of the politicians have spoken to the Nixon family. Unless something changed in the last day or so. None. In fact, they're having a hard time finding a pastor that will talk to them and pray with them. This is real. Now, they didn't do anything other than to witness what we all witnessed, the painful loss of their son, who is accused of having killed these four officers. So let's make sure we're balanced in all that we do.
Good afternoon. Ordinarily, I don't speak. But I move in a different way. But that doesn't mean I'm no less concerned about what's going on. And I've been troubled since this event occurred last Saturday. I called some of my white friends, called some of my black friends. And let me first say, violence of any sort perpetrated by anyone is unacceptable. Okay? So my white friend said, was real remorseful over what happened to the white officers. I said, no, that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. I said, you didn't express the same remorsefulness behind Mr. Grant, whose life was no less valuable than the four.
No, it was a different situation. No, it was a different situation. You saw with your own naked eyes this brother who was handcuffed and shot in the back. And then you try to make excuses. Oh, the messenger was reaching for him. What does that have to do with anything? Then you automatically remember Coleman Byrne?
Yes.
Okay. They go into the white folks' mental and psychological stability. When it comes to black males, they go into their criminal history. That's what they did with Mr. Grant. They immediately went into their criminal history. What did that have to do? This man was was the ultimate in insults to not just to the mayor, but to the black community. Yes. The mayor should have no less been able to read the president's letter.
Yes, sir.
No less than that. But if you look at other than Lieutenant Banks and Chief Jordan, there were no blacks on that side. Understand that. Also, listen what the Attorney General said. He inflamed already volatile situation by saying these officers were shot out of anger, I forget whatever else. Why is he saying that? But we have to stay together and move forward. Now, Minister Keith had made mention about May 18th. That date was not by mistake. Was not by mistake. I believe they're planning to delay the Messaline preliminary hearing because there's the case, high profile case, of Chauncey Bailey. And there, yes. So an effort has to be made, pressure has to be applied on the district attorney to change that date now. Don't wait till May 18th. And I will bet you any kind of money, if you wait till then, the 2 days before, they're going to talk about trying to delay that. Don't let that happen. Thank you.
Thank you. Two or three comments. We want to try to hold to a minute. We still have some other parts of the program.
Of course they're going to try to delay it. Because why? We going to let them. Because black folks have been pacified for all these years with this the civil rights, which is only made to pacify black folks as a human right thing. And for the record, I don't feel no kind of compassion whatsoever for the four officers who got slain. That's what they deserve. Because 74th went up to 85th, and all those people were killed, but nobody come out. I don't get no props in churches that was out there neither. If Obama had anything, if Obama said, if he gave compassion to the officers, we'll forget Obama too. See, I stand here alone and defiant. That's how I'm gonna be because I already know how this thing works. And, you know, when you have terrorists like these cops that's coming in and have been terrorizing these neighborhoods for years, people, when people gonna wake up and realize America knows nothing more than violence? How do you fight these type of people? See, I'm like America. I don't negotiate with terrorists neither. And that's what I view these people. So I'm tired of talking to these people. The more you talk, the more they pacify you with stuff. And I'm sick to my stomach with this. So, I mean, which is why I was let go from the Black Panthers because I was too extreme in my actions. People see violence as wrong and all of that. But if you look through history, every time I go back through my history, it makes me mad. And it keeps making me angry. Because we never do anything to combat this. All we do is talk, and keep talking. When are y'all going to stop talking and start doing something? Because the more you talk, the more them AKs is going through the bodies of black men. I'm sick of seeing black folks getting killed, either by somebody black or by a higher authority. I'm sick of talking to these folks. Next thing you know, it could be somebody's grandma. When the thing you said about Nixon's mother, or was it a grandmother?
Grandmother.
Dude, if that don't make you so pissed off that you want to snatch somebody, I don't know how to combat these people. Other than going around and jacking these cats up and making them listen. Because that's the only way they don't understand. People are afraid to bleed, but they'll go to Iraq and fight somebody they don't know. You know what I mean? It's mind-boggling, and people don't like to use violence, but dude, what can you do? You know what I'm saying? They've been bothering with us for years. I know my history. And every time I go back and look, it makes me even more frustrated that we're sitting here trying to negotiate with these cats. Quit negotiating with these people. Because they're not going to want to hear you. If I'm making more than, if I'm making money like they're making, I'm not going to want to hear you either. Matter of fact, I march with you. I support your march. These peaceful rallies, they ain't going to do nothing. Nothing. The first time that they rioted, I don't agree with how they rioted, but the first time these people rioted, all of a sudden the mayor want to come out now. Dude, I'm sick of house niggas telling me to calm down. I'm pissed every day. It's like 100 white folks calling me nigga. I'm mad every day, pissed. Ain't no smiles in me no more. You know what I'm saying? Because I live in these conditions. Y'all ain't got to live in these conditions like we live. Forget negotiating.
My brother knows I love him, and we all do. The last thing we need to be free are cowards. However, we now need to know how to win. And so the process of town hall and other processes of organization to help us effectively win whatever our fight is. So as our brother and we all gather together, we're simply learning how to cast a very real and effective blow for justice. And so keep the spirit. I would rather have somebody who's willing to stand and fight. Then we just got to train in how to cast a blow. Then to have somebody, when the fight comes, is running the other way. My brother is mute, and he is a repeated victim of police brutality. So I don't know the content of what's here fully, but I will say this, that he's been shot more than once by OPD. You sure? Yeah. But brothers come to visit me at the mosque, and being unable to speak with his voice, his victimization is sometimes overlooked as though maybe he's not where he should be of mine, and that's not necessarily the case. Stevie Wonder can't see you with his physical eye, but he's got a very good eye.
Yes.
So brother's written something about his case.
So on behalf of this young man, I'm going to read this. He speaks to contacting Dr. Sabi, and he leaves a phone number at 310-838-2490 for our nutrition. And since Dr. Sabi won his Supreme Court case in New York, Supreme Court, this will help us be cured of many diseases. I have been attacked by OPD since 2004, and in 2005, OPD shot me. In 2007, OPD shot me. And in 2006, OPD threatened to kill me and run me over with police vehicle. In 2005, police deputy broke my right arm while I was in custody in handcuffs and I offered no resistance. In 2007, OPD broke into my home with a fake fraudulent warrant and abducted my children. In 2007 and 2004, you can see the case number at OJ07007002. Civil case, excuse me, see civil case number 0J07007002, and where OPD shot me in 2007 and never put the warrant on record, and criminal case number 529866, and in 2008 and 9, OPD stalked me, invaded my privacy, came into my home, and much worse. I write children's books, I sell clothes, produce music, and I taught in Oakland School District in private black schools, and I am denied reasonable access to a lawyer. This is the last page. The truth be told, Chauncey Bailey was murdered and OPD covered it up, and Chauncey They interviewed me about my situation. Then weeks later, he was killed. Also, Black Dr. Warned me that the hospital was to try to abduct my children. And weeks later, Dr. Rory, who helped me deliver my child, was dead. Truth be told, we as blacks can now sue all nations, Catholic Church, the Pope, Bank of England, the Queen, and we can also claim our own country and also take over lands, animal, plant, and mineral kingdoms. And so it is.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Christoph. I wanted to make an observation and invite you all to an event. So the observation is that there's been a lot of people saying that the community needs to come out and have a march and protest in the streets over what happened to the four officers who were gunned down. And I think that the respectfully would disagree. It's obvious to me that, as people have already remarked here, that the governor, Jerry Brown, senators, everyone's already mobilized on behalf of those officers. They're not in need of any help from the community. But when we look at the case of Oscar Grant, until the community mobilized and actually went out into the streets, there was no justice. There was no national news story until we were in the streets. We made it a national news story. And I fear that unless we continue to mobilize in the streets in a public way, the case will fade from view. And so I don't think we need to be intimidated. We don't need to be intimidated. We don't need to fight to produce justice for people that have no problem obtaining justice on their own. What we need to do is continue to mobilize in the streets publicly in a way that demands attention, that it demands attention for Oscar Grant, because justice has not been done. And justice will not be done unless we continue to mobilize. So I want to invite everybody. This Thursday there's going to be a demonstration at MacArthur Park. It's part of a weekly series or bi-weekly series of demonstrations for our Justice for Oscar Grant. We're not going to be intimidated. We postponed from last week in light of the events to this week. But Thursday, MacArthur Bar at 4 p.m., it will be militant and it will be peaceful. And it will demand justice for Oscar Grant. And these demonstrations will continue. So hopefully some of you will be able to mobilize for that. Thank you.
My name is Bisola Marina. I'm with the campaign to end the death penalty, and I sit on the Allied Development Board with CAPE. What I'd like to say, there are two things that I'd like to say. First of all, I'd like to say that certainly Oscar, we need to continue the movement for Oscar's, justice for Oscar's murder. But we also need to recognize that Lavelle Nixon is our brother, was our brother too. Seemingly, the only difference between Oscar's death and Lavelle's death is the video. There was no video. We don't know what happened. So I want us to separate the two, because they're two young black men who are dead by police officers. When a civilian person kills a policeman, they have the right to shoot that person down immediately. We don't have that right to shoot the police down who killed Oscar, and we still haven't gotten any justice for that. The second point I want to make is, certainly there has been a campaign to develop a discourse to criminalize the entire black community, and especially young black men. We have to challenge that. And the way we challenge that is we have to speak out loud. We have to write ad-op pages. We have to send letters to the newspaper, we have to do blogs, we have to publicly challenge that discourse, because the discourse is the first thing that goes forward before the violent action. So we have to oppose that with our voice against theirs, saying we don't really know what happened to cause those four policemen to die. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to say good afternoon for everyone here at Albed and to the ministers. But first I give praise to the head of our life as a family is our God.
That's right.
And I have to say this with no disrespect to what we're dealing with and the situation that took place with the officers that lost their lives. But I have to say this on behalf of our family. I understand that there are two African-American males that were involved in a tragedy. And I also understand that there were officers that were involved in a tragedy as well. But the difference is between Oscar Grant and the case with the police officers and the gentleman that lost his life is that Oscar Grant was on his knees with his hands up.
Thank you.
No weapon.
Thank you.
So it is two separate cases.
Totally
different. And I have to stand up and say that it is totally different. Who was the real enemy of both cases was the weapon that was used to take the lives. That is the real enemy. And the cases being similar to each other, it was the weapon that was used to take all the lives that was taken. But it is two separate cases. Yes, we don't know what took place with the incident with the officers, but we, as the Johnson family, cannot put the two cases together because they're not two cases that we can call that is one.
Moving forward in our program, of course, Brother Junius is taking executive privilege. You got to do this in a minute now,
brother. Yeah, I will. I just want to say something
yes,
in terms of the issue of homicides in the city.
Yes, sir.
And I know the recent incidents have caused us to really focus on the tragedies, both on New Year's Eve and last week. But I want to share with you something. In this city, every 3 days, somebody dies by homicide. 9 of 10 of them are male. 2 out of 3 are under 30 years of age. 8 out of 10 are African-American. 9 out of 10 are by firearms. 3 out of 4 are on the streets. 99 African-American men died on the streets of this city last year, and 13 African-American women. No other ethnic group experienced more than one woman dying by homicide. And I know that there's a lot to deal with, but part of what we have to do, and Ms. Johnson just alluded to this, the guns. We've had a dramatic increase. They've almost doubled the number of homicides in this city attributable to guns. We've got a problem with guns, and we've got a problem that we're killing each other. And while I abhor their conduct and I understand it, I experience it, my son experiences it, of the harassment of the cops, we also need to look inside ourselves to see what we're doing to each other. It is tragic that we're losing so many lives because of conflict between each other. And I understand the conflict, the structural analysis and all of that, but it also has to do with how we feel and treat one another. And I would hope that as we search and struggle for ways to overcome this problem, that we keep it focused in a broad context of how we can stop killing each other.
Amen.
wanted to take some time this afternoon to hear from the vantage point of a brother of ours who has served for many years as a law enforcement practitioner. Though I think the higher title that he wears now is deacon at the Allen Temple Baptist Church, where children and young people are being trained with regularity how to deal with on-the-street police confrontations. It is important that we hear what his thoughts are, because he knows it from both sides of the badge. So I want you to join me in receiving our brother, who's a deacon from the Allen Temple Baptist Church. Please receive Brother Richard Lyle.